Good morning. So good to see you, beloved. I can't identify you, but I can see you. I have taken off my mask. You don't have to say, who is that masked man? It's good to be back. We've been shut in for a while. And we just started back on the road. This is our third week. The Lord's been good, kind and gracious. And like you, we're hoping that that this thing would leave us. But while it's with us, we have to live with it. And pray that the Lord would guide and preserve and protect us all. This morning we're going to talk about one of my favorite women in the New Testament. We're going to talk about Mary of Bethany. We're going to talk to her in a specific way, at a specific place. We're going to talk about Mary of Bethany at the feet of Jesus. First of all, we're going to read from Luke's Gospel in chapter 11. Luke in chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary at the feet of Jesus, waiting to hear his word. Then in John's Gospel in chapter 11, John chapter 11, verse 32 says, Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Mary, at the feet of Jesus, weeping. Chapter 12 of John. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Mary, at the feet of Jesus, worshiping. Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, and the Lord Jesus made it abundantly clear the importance of what she was doing. Martha was getting so fussy about serving, getting all uptight and getting anxious, and Jesus said, as we would say today, calm down. You are anxious about many things. But Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. There's nothing wrong in serving. There's nothing wrong in wanting to get it done and getting it done quickly and getting it done orderly. But the Lord Jesus is saying we have to make time. We have to be patient. We have to find the time to sit and to wait and to hear his word. He says that is good. That's the good part that Mary hath chosen, and it shall not be taken away from her. Sometimes we get so busy we don't have time to listen. Sometimes we are so anxious that we don't wait. That's what it says in the book of James, that every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. We need to find time to sit and to listen to his word. We don't know a lot because we don't listen. We do more talking than listening. You know, someone has said, I've heard this so many times, God has given us two ears and only one mouth. So we need to listen twice as long as we speak. Some people just love to talk. Some people just love to do things. Want to be active. I have to be here, I have to be there, I have to do this, and I have to do that. Listen to the words of the psalmist. In Psalm 106, verse 13 says, they soon forgot his words, his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their requests, but sent leanness into their soul. Inside they were empty. They made a lot of noise. They had a lot of possessions. But he sent leanness into their souls. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. As I said before, serving is fine. There's nothing wrong in serving. But we need to be patient. We need to be waiting. We need to be listening, because the Lord has something to say to us. She sat at Jesus' feet, waiting to hear his word. Proverbs 27 and 18 says this: "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat of the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." He that waiteth on his master shall be honored. It's so important to wait. One of the better known verses in the book of Isaiah, it says, "But he that wait on the Lord," they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and 31. They that wait on the Lord. There's a special blessing for those who wait on the Lord. As we have in Isaiah 64, verse 4 says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him who waiteth for him." Wait on the Lord, the psalmist says. Again, I says, wait. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, waiting. How could we forget that aged man by the name of Simeon? And he knew what the promises were concerning the coming of the Messiah. And we usually look at this around Christmas time. And it says that this man, Simeon, he had a promise from God that he will not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Because during his life, it says he waited for the redemption of Israel. He was looking for the Redeemer. He waited for him. And he knew he was going to come because God had promised him that he will see him. When he came and he took up the Christ child in his arms, he said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast shown to all the people, a light to lighten the nations and the glory of thy people Israel." He waited. He looked. He listened. He looked at the signs. And then finally, his faith gave way to sight. Mary, she know that Jesus always have a word of comfort, a word of encouragement, a word to encourage and strengthen her. And so when Jesus came, she sat at his feet and waited. When Israel was so troubled about the Egyptians following them and there was no place to go, they looked around, there was mountain and there was a sea, and then there were the Egyptians. And they were troubled, and God used his servant Moses to encourage them. Don't get flustered. Don't get frustrated. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Wait on the Lord, he says. Psalm 27, 14. Wait on the Lord. Before I move on, let me just read from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Before I move on to my next point, Lamentations chapter 3, I think it's verse 23, let me see here. The Lord is good, the Lord is good unto those who wait for him. Verse 25. The Lord is good unto those who wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him, waiteth for him. Mary, at the feet of Jesus, she was waiting. Job and all his troubles and all his heartaches and all the pain and anguish that he went through, he had this assurance. The question is asked, if a man dies, shall he live again? He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. The change was coming. He was waiting because he knew that the Lord was going to change this body. It says, even though worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So he waited, says he, until my change come. And change is going to come. You and I just have to wait, and sometimes we get impatient, and I know this virus has made us very impatient. It's lingering. It's getting worse in certain places. And we don't know what the end is. But we know there's going to come a change. There's coming a change. And Job was waiting for that change. Now in the family of Mary, chapter 11 of John, in the family of Mary and Martha, there was sadness. They had lost their brother. And Jesus heard it. He was far away when he heard the news. He heard that he was sick and he didn't go right away. That's why both girls said to him when he came, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. But Jesus knew exactly what he wanted to do. On his way, he told the disciples that Lazarus was asleep. He says, and I go that I might awake him out of sleep. I'm going to awake him out of sleep. The Lord Jesus had the situation in hand, but Martha did not understand, and she complained, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And then she went and called her sister, and Mary said the same thing, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Mary left and went to the place, and she wept. She wept because of her brother, her beloved brother. And you know something? Jesus also wept. Sometimes we think that weeping is for weaklings. Only weak people cry. We don't seem to have the ability to cry anymore, because that is seen as a weakness. Not only did Jesus cry outwardly, but he groaned in the spirit. As he looked at his beloved Mary at his feet, weeping. Weeping for her loss, weeping because her heart was broken, weeping because of the sad situation. Christians today, we look around, we see the situation in the world, and we criticize. You say, oh, look at those people, and we don't have that compassion. For situations around us, we just go as though nothing has happened. Nothing moves us. Nothing breaks our hearts. People are dying and going to hell. It doesn't matter because we are all right. There are no tears, because tears are for weaklings. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus, weeping, and Jesus wept. You think tears and weeping are for weaklings? I can tell you of some strong men who cried. Saul of Tarsus, for instance, he was a tough man. He persecuted the church. He consented to the death of Stephen. And he was putting people in prison, men or women, who doesn't matter who they were. But when he wrote to the Ephesian saints, after he was converted, he became the Apostle Paul. He spoke of his service to the Lord. He says, I wept night and day. I shed many tears. He shed tears for Timothy when they were separated. And so many throughout the scriptures wept. Now, weeping is not for weaklings. Weeping is for those who have a heart for God. Nehemiah was in Shushan, the palace. He had a good job. He was of the captivity, but he was doing well. He was the king's cupbearer. Someone came from the old country, and he asked how things were. And the report was not good. Nehemiah chapter 1. He asked his brother, he says, you know, things are not good. The people that are left back there are in distress. The gates are burned. The wall is broken down. The people are famished. And the place of my father's sepulcher lieth waste. It was sad news. And it says that Nehemiah wept. He wept and he prayed to the God of heaven. He wept because there was sadness. The situation was not good. You think of Jeremiah, and they gave him a nickname. They called him the weeping prophet. He always wept because of conditions. We don't cry anymore. Nothing affects us. We just go along as though nothing has happened. Jeremiah looked around, he saw the condition of God's people, and he wept. He shed tears, and he said, oh, I wish I had more tears. Oh, that my heart were waters and a fountain. Mine eyes were a fountain. He wanted to cry more. Jesus wept. He looked at the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over the city. Paul the Apostle told the Corinthian saints in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, here you are, as though nothing has happened. Here you are tolerating this man in the assembly who has taken his father's wife. You have not wept, you have not mourned. You as though nothing has happened. Where is your heart? The time for tears, beloved. The time for crying. Time to weep. As it says in Lamentations. You have not rather mourned or wept. Jesus wept. Prophet Jeremiah in Lamentation 1 says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. If the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger, from above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed against me. Is it nothing to you? We look around. Situation is sad in the world. We're going about our businesses, but all is well. All is well with me, so what do I care? Nehemiah didn't take that attitude. He cared because he was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of the name of the Lord. The place that the Lord had pleased to place his name, it was lying waste. The place of his father's sepulcher. The walls were broken down. Where are the tears? Where are the tears? One songwriter puts it this way, that tears are a language that God understands. He sees the tears. He hears us when we weep. Yes, we know that because when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said to Moses that I am here because I have heard the prayers of my people. I have seen their affliction. I have seen their tears. And I am come down to deliver them. I've seen their tears. Too many dry-eyed Christians Let me tell you of another Mary by the name of Magdala, Mary Magdalene we call her. She went to the sepulcher. Peter was there and John was there. They all visited. Peter left and John left, but Mary, he says, John chapter 20, 11, but Mary stood outside of the sepulcher weeping. Weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other on the at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Why are you crying? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. She was weeping for her Lord. She didn't stop crying. Another one came. Another person came. But she didn't know who he was. It was the very one she was weeping for. It was her Lord this time. And he said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And why? Why are you crying? She's supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him from here, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. What if she had left with Peter and John? She would have missed this tender moment. Mary. She turned and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Whom seekest thou? Why weepest thou? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? We need to weep. I mean, genuine tears I'm talking about. I'm talking about weeping for conditions around us. This is what it says in Psalm 126. I know you know this portion. But I'm going to read it so that I can get it right. In Psalm 126, verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We come up empty every time. There are no sheaves because we don't know how to weep. Weeping are for weaklings. Grown men don't cry. Where that came from, I don't understand. But that's what we say. Jesus says, why are you weeping? Why are you crying, Mary? So tell me where you have laid him. Mary of Bethany went to the tomb of her brother and she wept. She wept because of the great loss, the great anguish. And Jesus wept, and then she got the result that she wanted. Jesus called him forth from the dead, weeping. We read that in the book of Isaiah, I think it is, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. he that goeth forth and weepeth, sowing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And finally, Mary at the feet of Jesus, worshiping. This time she didn't come to have her needs met. This time she came to anoint the feet of Jesus in worship. And I was so moved this morning when our brother here spoke concerning bringing something for the man. Too often Christians come empty-handed and they say, well, you know, the song says, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. That's when I come for salvation, I don't bring anything. But when I come for worship, I bring an offering. What shall we bring the man? Felix stealing that message. What shall we bring the man? Worshiping. It is not by picking up something on our way here in the car, and then you come and you share it with the saints. That didn't cost anything. Beloved, wherever you turn to worship in the Bible, it always costs. Worship is not cheap, and worship is not free. It's always good to go back to the first mention. The first mention of worship in the Bible is when Abraham said to the young man, you stay here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. What was he talking about? He was going to give to God his only possession, his only son whom he loved. And he did. He offered him on the altar. He laid him. He tied him up. He laid him on the altar. It's only God who stopped him. But as far as Abraham was concerned, he gave God his only and well-beloved son. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him. When you see the word offer, it's about worship. Offer him as a burnt offering. What did he bring the man? You gotta get something to give the man. God says, I want your son. Worship costs. It costs Mary the equivalent of a man's salary for a year. 300 denarii. Not a woman's salary. Women don't make that much. The equivalent of a man's salary for a year. That's what the ointment costs. One writer says it was very costly. Another said it was very precious. And when you bring an offering, beloved, that costs you something, this room will be filled with the odor of the ointment. What did you bring the man? You got to bring something. Bring an offering unto the Lord. Did we offer? Mary's offering was not cheap. It was not a cheap. You need to bring something. Bring an offering. You don't come with your fingers on a particular hymn and think, well, that's what I have to offer. You spend all week not spending any time in his presence, and you can't just turn it off and turn it on. Worship costs. Paul said to the Galatians, to the Romans, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or your intelligent worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, to may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Bring an offering. Bring the man something. Hebrews 13, verse 15 says, by him, therefore, Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to share, it costs to share. Forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 96. It's about worship. And worship always costs. Psalm 96, verse 7 says, give, that's worship. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the peoples. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Don't come empty-handed. Bring an offering. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all ye the earth. Bring an offering. I'm going to go to one of my favorite portions now. I mentioned it this morning in Thanksgiving, 2 Samuel 24, because that tells me worship costs. And we have a problem, beloved, and we may need to pay the price. We may need to offer something to the Lord. We may need to rededicate ourselves to the Lord before this plague can be averted, because it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sins, then will I heal their land. You got to do something. 2 Samuel 24, verse 19 says, and David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. There was a plague, just as we have one now. There was a plague among God's people. And Arauna looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. And Arauna went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arauna said, why is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people. And Arauna said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here are an oxen for a burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And these things did Arauna like a king give unto the king. And Arauna said to the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arauna, nay, no, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto my Lord, the Lord my God, of that which doth cost me nothing. I'm not going to give the Lord anything that doesn't cost something. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen of 50 shekels of silver. We know that he bought also the whole place, another 600 shekels of silver, so 650,000 shekels of silver. He bought the whole threshing floor and all the place, and he paid for it in full because it cost something. You know something? That place that David bought to offer a sacrifice to the Lord is the same place where the temple of God was built by his son Solomon. He bought it at a price. For he will not give to God an offering that doesn't cost anything. Bring something for the man. Give the man something. You have to bring something for the man. You have to bring. You can't come empty. Because worship costs. Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him as a burnt offering, and upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Mary of Bethany, at the feet of Jesus, sitting and waiting, waiting to hear his word. Mary of Bethany, at the feet of Jesus, weeping, weeping because her heart was broken and sad. And Mary, at the feet of Jesus, anointing him, worshiping him, offering him an alabaster box of ointment that was very costly. And the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Kneeling at the feet of Jesus. It's good to be with you again, beloved. Good to see you all. Keeping well. Thanks for having us. God bless and strengthen and encourage you during these trying times. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. This day of worship and service. We thank thee for the privilege of gathering this morning in remembrance of our blessed Redeemer, in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup, proclaiming his death until he comes. We trust that we have brought something for the man, that man of Calvary that has won our hearts from us, who died to set us free, blessed man of Calvary. We trust we have brought something for the man. Thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for their love and hospitality and their generosity. Thank you for the time spent together with God's people today. We ask thy blessing as we part. Watch over us, take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. Guide us and preserve us. Protect all the saints. Keep us safe and deliver us from the hand of the enemy. We pray and give thanks to thee, our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.